Good to see you all here. So I am, as you've probably noticed through the children's feature, as well as what CJ had talked about in his opening, I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about perseverance. But before I begin today, I would like to review the second letter of Peter that Lauren has been preaching over for the last few weeks. So the Epistle of Peter, or 2 Peter, is Peter's epilogue to the believers in Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. And in it, he challenges them to make their calling and election sure, which is in verse 10. Peter follows this up with a warning about false teachers, their corrupt lifestyle, including their distorted doctrine in chapter 2, before encouraging believers to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before the day of the Lord in chapter 3. But today, the focus of my message will be on the fifth link in Peter's eight-link chain of virtues found in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 7, the virtue of perseverance. But before we go on, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand here before your people and to open your word and to discuss what you have to say to us about perseverance. Your word is an amazing, amazing well of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And I ask that as we mine it today, that you give us what we need in our lives and that we're able to share that with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the earliest Greek manuscripts, the word for perseverance is hupomone, which is translated in our English Bibles as either patience, endurance, steadfastness, patience, continuance, patient endurance, or lastly, perseverance. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines perseverance as a continued effort to do or to achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The Collins Dictionary defines perseverance as the quality of continuing with something even though it's difficult. Have you ever spent much time watching children? I was trying to think of an example that I could share with you about perseverance. And they're quite amazing if you take the time to do that, especially little kids. They just pick up everything. They just suck it in. They're just like this sponge, and it's amazing to watch them. But you can learn so much from them. And the reason I bring it up to you is I know most of you know that Heather and I have had the privilege to raise four of our own children, plus bring a number of children into our house through fostering. And through that, and I guess it's close to 20 years that we've been doing it, as we've opened our home even prior to fostering, each child has a number of setbacks that we've recognized. And they're unique to themselves and unique to their own situations that they've had to overcome. From being the less benign setbacks as crawling, as you've watched most kids crawl and walk and talk, and they stumble and fall and get back up, and then they keep going. They stumble and fall and get up and keep going. They're not discouraged by it. It's quite amazing to watch them. But there's some kids that have come into our home that have had major setbacks, like neglect and abuse. But the one thing that each child has from birth is this amazing capacity to persevere. And it doesn't even matter whether it's stumbling and falling or whether it's through neglect and abuse. They're able to get through it. They continue to push through despite these mountain of obstacles in their way. There are four qualities I observed by watching these children persevere through their early challenges in life, and they are, first of all, acceptance. They easily accept their circumstances. They don't question when they come into our homes. Well, maybe they do a little bit, but for the most part, they accept. They accept that this is where they are. This is what's happened in their lives. And they just deal with it. The second one is courage. And I have seen the smallest child show more courage than many adults that I've seen struggle with similar circumstances in their lives. The third is strength. They have an incredible amount of internal fortitude, strength. It's amazing to watch. And the fourth is continuance. These children rarely give up. They never give up. They keep pushing forward. It's an amazing thing to watch. But as we move forward with 2 Peter, is this what he's talking about in the verse? No, it's not. Though these lessons are similar to what we will find in perseverance and Peter, or what he is writing about. Our perseverance is born out of the perseverance that Peter is talking about is born out of our participation in the divine nature and the power of God, the perseverance in the paths of righteousness. John Piper explains it this way: God's divine power has given us all things that lead to godliness. For this reason, make every effort yourself to be godly. Don't miss the connection. Since God has given power for godliness, strive to become godly. This is the heart of New Testament ethics. We labor for virtue because God has already labored for us and is at work within us. Don't ever reverse the order, lest you believe another gospel, which is no gospel at all. Never say, I will work out my salvation in order that God might work in me. But say, as the Apostle Paul says, I work out my salvation, for it is God who works in me to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Never say, I press on to make it my own in order that Christ might make me his own. But say, with Paul, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Philippians 3:12. There's a world of difference in a marriage where a husband doubts the love of his wife and labors to earn it, and a marriage where the husband rests in the certainty of his wife's love and takes pains joyfully not to live unworthily of it. Peter's point is this: God is for us with divine power. Of that we may be sure. Now, in the confidence of that power, take pains to live worthy of his love. The kind of perseverance Peter and John Piper are talking about is known in theological circles as the perseverance by the saints, which deals with our effort, combined with the prompting, direction, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to continue building character and faith in our lives until the end of our days. An Old Testament illustration of this kind of perseverance is no more present than in the life of Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was born in the 7th century BC to the priest Hilkiah from Anathoth in Judah. The center of Jeremiah's ministry is here in Jerusalem, where he rebukes Israel for their worship of other gods and forsaking their one true God. For the first 24 chapters, Jeremiah warns Israel about God's impending judgment should they fail to repent, followed by chapter 25, where Jeremiah describes in detail the vessel of God's vengeance, the Babylonians, and Israel's 70 years of captivity at the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. Chapters 26 to 45 of the book include both judgment and hope for the people of Israel, followed by chapters 46 to 51, where there is judgment and hope for all the nations, including Babylon itself, and then a final chapter that outlines the fulfillment of God's judgment and a promise of hope. As I'm sure you can imagine, Jeremiah's message of judgment was met with a great deal of hostility and anger, which came not only at the hands of Israel's sons and daughters, but its kings and priests as well, like King Zedekiah, who put Jeremiah in prison and then allowed his princes to do whatever they wanted to him, which included lowering him into a cistern and leaving him to die, or the priest Pashur, who had Jeremiah beaten and put in stocks. What can we learn from Jeremiah's struggles and pain? To do this, I think it prudent to open up Jeremiah and read the first chapter. Let's read it together if you have your Bibles. The word of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Just as an aside here, Josiah was the last good king of Israel. There were five good kings. Josiah was the last. And so he was kind of at the tail end of Josiah's reign. And then he gave the message moving forward. And though the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month, the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth, and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an olive tree." The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a pot that is boiling." I answered, "It is tilting towards us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance at the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her walls and against the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on them, my people, because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified of them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and its people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So what do we learn from this? It gives us some insight into perseverance, doesn't it? The first thing we learn about perseverance is it starts with a call. The word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in my womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to nations. None of us perseveres in godliness without first being called by God. God calls and elects those he wills into relationship with him, and the elect respond in faith to his call. But not only does God call us into relationship with him, he also calls us into ministry with him. And like Jeremiah, he has created us with a purpose to share the good news, as Jesus made it clear to his disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe what I command you. Number two, acceptance. The call comes with a question of our own worthiness and giftedness to fulfill the call. But God always responds with his presence and the ministry he calls us to. Jeremiah 1:68. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say you are too young. You must go and tell, and you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you," declares the Lord. Much like Moses, when he questioned God about his worthiness to speak as a servant of God, Jeremiah also questions his ability before God to fulfill the call God has put before him. None of us is capable or in our own power to fulfill any task God calls us to. Is not God the one who empowers us and gifts us to succeed in fulfilling the call he puts on our lives? And in this, we accept what he has done for us, and we accept his call on our lives. Number three, obedience. Obedience is required in order to persevere. 2 Peter 5b, perseverance in our calling to be more like Christ comes with obedience to God's directives in our lives. For this very reason, make every effort. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perseverance also requires preparation and courage. Verse 17. God requires us to prepare for our calling and to be of good courage. Jonathan Edwards once said when speaking to the hypocrites, to continue instant in prayer with all perseverance to the end of life requires much care, watchfulness, and labor. For much opposition is made to it by the flesh, the world, and the devil. And Christians meet with many temptations to forsake this practice. He would persevere in his duty must be laborious in religion in general, but hypocrites never count the cost of such labor. They never were prepared in the disposition of their minds to give their lives to the service of God and to the duties of religion. We must prepare our minds and our hearts before God before we persevere. Fifth, strength to persevere comes from the Lord. Verse 19. God will provide the strength to complete what he has asked us to do, including our perseverance until the end. There's some New Testament passages that outline this. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, Philippians 1, 6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. John 6, 37 to 47, we see Jesus stating that everyone who the Father gives, the Son, will come to him, and he will raise him up on that last day. John 10, 27 to 30, Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice, and I will know them. They will follow me. I will give the eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and none who is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Lastly, perseverance requires endurance and continuance. Verse 2 and 3. There may be trials that require a short, sustained period of perseverance, but as Christians, our calling to persevere and develop our Christ-like qualities is a lifetime commitment that is synergistic. Our work combined with the prompting, direction, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to continue in faith and godly virtues until the end. Now, do you notice anything different from the first list of five or four qualities I gave you that we noticed through children and the six I gave you this time? The only difference was that godly perseverance is initiated with a call from God. And secondly, it is steeped in obedience. Even as children, we have no desire for the things of God, which includes his character qualities, because none of us is exempt from the stain of sin on our lives. Even our children, whose desire, just like ours, is to continually sinful. It isn't until God puts a new desire in our hearts that we are interested in the things of God. So why did I use Jeremiah as an illustration of perseverance? Well, the book of Jeremiah provides us the clearest glimpse of a new covenant God intended to make his people once Christ came to earth. The destruction of the temple in Jeremiah, found in chapter 25, foreshadowed a new covenant that would take its place, and with it, a new way of relating to God. This covenant would be the means of restoration for God's people, as he would put his law within them, writing it on their hearts of flesh rather than their tablets of stone. Rather than fostering our relationship with God through a fixed location like a temple, he promised through Jeremiah that his people would know him directly, a knowledge that comes through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. This is the promised hope of Jeremiah 31:31-34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. This is why Jeremiah is so important. It is an Old Testament proclamation of the New Testament covenant. It is not that we have within us the power to build and cultivate the faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, godliness, love, and finally perseverance on our own. It is our divine calling that makes it possible. Only then do we desire to please God and to follow his decrees, and only then are our hearts of stone transformed into hearts of flesh. So in the light of God's character and our divine nature, let us make every effort to persevere to the end. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for all the gifts you've given us, specifically the ability to follow you, to persevere. I ask as we go out here today that we're able to do that in light of what we've learned through 2 Peter and Jeremiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Len. I'm sure following this sermon, we will have lengthy discussions on how we individually view perseverance. Thank you for bringing this sermon. I am reminded perseverance in the Old Testament, there's so many characters that had to persevere. You start with Noah that had to build the ark for a century. You have Abraham and Isaac. You have the promise of the Messiah, and you have the Maccabean time where for 400 years the Lord didn't speak to his people. But the best illustration when I was thinking about perseverance, I thought was out of the book, P.S. I Love You. I don't know who knows that. But Brown, I believe Jackson Brown, I could be wrong, he brings the illustration of the stream and the rock. The rock seems so firm and nothing can happen to the rock, and the stream is just water. You pick it up, you do with it what you want, but it's the time. What's the difference? And the stream perseveres, and with time it carves into the rock. It carves through the rock if it's properly laid out. With that, may I ask those in the body, so those that are physical here, to rise and receive the benediction with me together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I ask you, Lord, to help us to persevere in these times. I ask you that you bless everyone that is watching and physically here and receiving this sermon. I ask you that you be with everyone this week, that you bless and protect and guide us. Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. This understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks, He increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired and vigorous, young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You are dismissed, so God will. We'll see you next week at the same time. God bless you.